You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. It's Wednesday, and we're doing it over here at your mom's house. I am your host, Ryan Sickler. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. My website is ryansickler.com. I'm trying to keep it easy for you. My new album, Get a Hold of Yourself, is available now. You can get it anywhere you get great music. iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, all that good stuff. It's being streamed over on Sirius right now. Check that out. Give it that iTunes 5-star review if you want to help me out over there. Some road dates here. January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd. I'll be in Northern California at the Barrel Brothers Brewing. Griffo Gin Distillery and the Old Growth Cellars in Eureka, California. Looking forward to that fun little run of shows. Phoenix, April 4th through the 6th. I'll be doing some summer dates with Tom Segura. Can't wait for that. And I am firming up more dates as the final info comes in. I will post it on the on my website, ryansickler.com. And the placeholders are over there now, so at least you know when I'm coming to your city. And again, I want to thank you all, man, for wherever you listen to podcasts, however you listen to them, please subscribe, rate, review The Honeydew. Thank you all who already have. Tell everybody who will listen, damn it. You guys have been fantastic. You always have. I really appreciate the positivity. I know things are being changed up a little and I'm glad you're running with me. This has been fun and it's been a life change. So I'm glad to lean into this. And we are getting closer to setting up at your mom's house. You're still going to have a couple more shows on the feed through January. And then once we get into February, things will settle down, get over there into your mom's house studios. The plan is to move the audio release of The Honeydew to Mondays and the video on Tuesdays. The website for The Honeydew podcast is thehoneydewpodcast.com. And you can get all the info there that I'm about to tell you. You can email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, The Honeydew Podcast, Twitter, @TheHoneydewPod. Our sponsor this week on The Honeydew, back again once again, is Blue Chew. Honeydew is supported in part by BlueChew.com. And basically, if you like sex, you'll like BlueChew.com. It's that easy. Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. And who wouldn't like to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Blue Chew makes the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables work faster than pills, actually up to twice as fast. And you can take Blue Chew on a full or empty stomach. It's cheaper than the other two. It only takes a few minutes to fill out a form online. Okay, so there's no doctor visit. There's no weird conversations. You're not waiting in line at the pharmacy having somebody call out your pills. They ship directly to your door in discreet packaging. Okay, Blue Chew chewables are prescribed online by a doctor, made right here in the USA, and Blue Chew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. And that's what we're doing over here. We honey doing it. So here's the deal for you guys. It's a great deal. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order for free. Get it for free when you use my promo code HONEY, H-O-N-E-Y, in case you're wondering, HONEY. You just pay the $5 shipping, okay? That's it. You're paying the $5 shipping. You're getting it for free. That's Blue, B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code HONEY. And as you know, here at The Honeydew, we try to laugh in the face of adversity. We try to find the humor in the tough times. And my next guest, it's a pleasure to have this guy on. He's a great friend. I love him. Great comedian. You know, when I went through the split I went through with my daughter's mom, this dude was there for me, literally and figuratively. The man was there for me. And having gone through it himself, I thought, who better to bring on to discuss what it was like for him? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Josh Wolf, everybody.
What's welcome to the podcast. What's going on, guys? How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'll introduce our co-host this week, steady in the seat so far, Josh Adam Myers over there.
King of police, keeping it real.
Welcome back, Josh.
Thank you for having me.
Looking toned and slim
thank
over
you
there.
Very much. Yeah. I'm dying, everybody. I'm dying.
You look good going out. Yeah. A lot of people don't get to look good on their way out. Most people look their worst.
My doctor says I'm healthy, and by doctor, I mean the blood pressure machine at Rite Aid. So
you're going to fit in that extra small coffin.
Yeah. Tiny.
Well, man, yeah, and you can, by the way, thank you for having me on. You can, guys, anytime if you want to check me on Rogue.
Yes, plug everything, please.
ComedianJoshWolf.com is my website. I got a talk show that I do on Facebook Live called Control Chaos that both of you guys have been
That's
on.
So much fun, dude.
It is. Yes, yeah. It is.
We do it live every Tuesday at 7 o'clock on my Facebook fan page. And then my tour date's coming up. I'm going to be in Edmonton, Canada. Then I'm going to Liberty Township in Cincinnati. And then I'm going to Arizona. But a lot of fun happening. New songs, new jokes. Everything's new on the road. Come check it out.
Great. Josh? Other Josh? Yeah, Josh is here today.
At Josh Adam Myers on all social media. I got a podcast, The 500, where I'm going through Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums. It's fantastic. I'd love for you to join the movement. And you can find it at the500podcast.com. It's a movement. We're moving down the list.
You are doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
You are doing that. So I'm really excited to have you here today, Josh Wolf. I'm talking to Josh Wolf specifically. I'm also excited to have you here, but today to be our guest here on the show. You know what? You were an inspiration, and I'm talking outside of comedically. No offense, but
by the way, ask a comic which one's more important. I'd be like, fuck my real life. You know, what's the deal with my stand-up?
I know that hurts. You saved my life without comedy. And I know that hurts you.
I love it.
But when I split with my daughter's mother, you've gone through that.
Yes.
And you checked in on me. You really did. I had so many crazy health problems. I was in and out of the hospital so many times. It started with kidney stones. Then it went into finding out that they I'll never forget this. They were testing me. My legs were clotting like crazy. We did a live crab feast at the Improv that night with Anna Faris. I just got out of the hospital, and I didn't know what's going on. It took like 6 months, and they thought maybe I had leukemia or lymphoma, and I was like, what? And they're telling me I need to go talk to this oncologist. And I was like, isn't that a blood cancer doctor? And they're like, yeah, but don't freak out. And I was like, yeah, I'm already passed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
know? They only do one thing.
Once I knew what I was.
Looking to buy in a coffin. Should I freak out? No, but look into it.
Gotta get a wheelchair before the coffin. I mean, I like to slowly progress.
You might want to buy a hearse just to save time for a vehicle right around town.
And you don't want me to worry. But don't worry. You can drive the hearse to the supermarket.
And then to the cemetery.
The only thing I'm gonna worry about is worrying. All right. So they sent me to this guy, and he tells me, he's like, I don't know, it's weird. I don't normally see two legs clot, like jump from one to the other, and I'm just like, holy shit. So I leave, and it's 2 weeks to find out if you have cancer.
Old jump clot sickness.
I just love that the doctor was like, yeah. I just thought that the doctor was like, I ain't never seen legs like that. Yeah. What is up with your legs?
Man. You know what you don't want to hear your doctor say? Whoa.
Yeah, well. Especially the cancer doctor.
It's clown. It's clown.
So.
You also never want to hear him say, Jim, come in here.
Yeah. Hey, man, you better dock too. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a leg clot like that? Never.
Man, it was just scary.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Fuck. It was scary as fuck. And
did you do things like WebMD and just,
of course.
Well, that's the worst thing you could do, right?
I was rubbing my quad. I was watching the Star Wars where I say this, Han Solo dies, you know, whatever that one was.
Uh-huh.
Sorry for the spoiler. And my legs hurt, and I feel the veins through my legs. Now, I'd already been through this whole kidney stone situation where it was just a nightmare, and they were like, you need to come in, your legs are clotting. So eventually, it works my way to this fucking guy, and he was just like, I'm going to test you for this disease, all this stuff. And I'm like, holy shit. So 2 weeks ago, he gives me his personal cell phone number.
That's not good.
Terrible sign.
And I said to him.
That would have been the one.
Take my page number. I don't even use it, but just in case.
I do have an app. Here's my page. I'll page you.
I got an extra room at the house. Man, you should come.
I said, this is the most scared I've ever been in my life. I was like, an oncologist gave me his personal cell phone number because I knew I was bad. Like, I was having these crazy chest pains.
I remember that.
You were checking in on me. I really thought I was going to die. It wouldn't stop. Like, I laid in my bed one night crying, and I was like, this is it. It's gonna, I'm gonna die here. They kept saying, nothing's wrong. I'm like, yeah, something's wrong.
Sometimes your brain,
yeah,
it's all mental most of the time.
Well, this was not, I'm
but,
telling no, you
but right if there's now, if there's mental. Already an underlying problem, yeah, your brain is going to create right. so
it's
much
also
more
an age thing. Like when I was 21, if I felt a little in my heart, I'd been like, well,
I'm trying to get to the point where it's not mental. I have a disease. Yeah. I'm trying to get to that point.
Go.
We can cut the 20 minutes of mental fucking culmination. I have a disease.
He's got legicus clodicus.
So I go back in, and this was the thing that was the most important to me. This lady's like, how are you? And I was like, I'm freaking out. Like, it's been 2 weeks. And she goes, well, I can tell you, you don't have cancer. And I was like, oh. And I was just so relieved. She goes, how do you feel? I was like, I feel so relieved. Like, I'm just so glad to hear that, you know. And she goes, you need to go celebrate. And I sort of laughed. I was like, yeah, I'm sure. And she goes, no, listen to me. And she stopped me and she looked at me and she's like, every day I tell people they have cancer. And today I got to tell someone they don't.
That's amazing.
And she's like, you make sure you
let me suck
celebrate
your dick.
And I was like,
let me just take off his compression pants. Oh, keep that dick moist.
And that's why. So I've got this. It's called Factor 5 Light, and my blood is thicker. It clots. I have to wear those compression pants on flights. I got to be careful. Like, if I go on a flight to Europe, I probably have to get on blood thinners.
Yeah.
And be careful. I got to get up every hour and a half. Like, my daughter's like, where are we going? I'm like, I walk. We're on the flights. I walk up and down. I take her up front. They give her pins and shit, you know. Go and those people that stand in the back, I'm one of those people.
You know, if you had a son, he would tell you you're wearing Spanx.
They are Spanx. I said that. Yeah. I'm like, I got to wear pantyhose? He's like, not pantyhose, but I'm like, they're fucking pantyhose.
Can we call them mannyhose?
Because no one will buy those either. Let me get that mannyhose. So you're going to step aside over here, TSA. These are just my manny hoes.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm
pretty
proud.
What's the problem? I don't know what the problem is. I got these at Hooters. I don't know what the problem is.
They only come in one size. I'm sorry. They only come in one size. Wow. All right.
So, yeah, I end up with this disease that I have to deal with that apparently I've had my entire life. I had no idea I had this thing. It's a hereditary disease. And then I got to tell my family to get checked. And none of them have it. So it ties all back to my dad who died. We thought of a heart attack all these years, but turns out it actually might have been blood clots, which is because he just got out of the hospital from a heart attack and had clots. So it might actually be, that's what I'm saying, 30-some years later, this all comes around. And I'm like, because my doctor said, look, back then, anyone that died, you know, under 50, we were just like, heart attack. You know, they're young, heart attack. He's like, but what we're discovering is it probably was more like clot related, that they have, you know, just something broke off and popped and boom, you know, lung or brain.
He would have been wearing the mannyhose. Didn't have it.
My dad is older, but he just ended up with a blood clot in his lung, right? And we went to Reno and visited him and stuff. But like, it makes you start to think about yourself so much. So much. It's crazy just to see. Both my parents are still alive. I feel very lucky. But are both your parents still alive?
My dad passed away in 2010, but my mom's got a lot of health issues. I'm going home in February because a little procedure, but she has a nodule on her lung. They're going to test it while they remove it because it grew a little bit. And so it could be bad, but my sister's a doctor. She's like, I can't say not to worry, but it's, you know, she has a history. He had breast cancer, but she's got fibromyalgia. So
see, you know, it's crazy. And I'm so sorry. It's crazy. But is that like, I feel like nobody's family is normal, right? But I had,
especially no comedian.
Right. Yeah. But I had in that with my parents, I had such a normal, and with no major catastrophe in our family. Like, my grandparents are dead, but everybody's grandparents, you know, age. So
that's how you learn about death.
Yeah.
The grandparents.
But the parent stuff, I think, leaves a mark on people that I have not had yet. And watching and seeing my dad in the hospital, I was like, oh, how the fuck this is gonna be?
Yeah.
Because my dad's 80, but works out more than I do. The dude is in.
I mean, you look amazing. You said you're about to be 50.
Yeah, my dad
had incredible.
My dad had abs at 65. So like,
wait, he was the guy?
Yeah,
65 abs.
Yeah,
I got that rolling.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's
I mean, my
guy.
Abs currently look like they're 65.
Was your dad Jack Lane?
Yeah, juice, juice, juice.
He went to that electrical bell.
Dude, you know, have you ever tried one of those?
Oh, no.
They're the fucking funniest things.
Does it really stimulate you, though?
It's a TENS unit for your abs.
Yeah.
It's a taser for your stomach.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
I got tased, too. That was bad.
You did?
At a comedy club.
What?
Yeah, in Shreveport, Louisiana. I got tased. Yeah, okay. So, Christopher Titus, I believe, is married to the woman who used to run that club.
Okay.
She had just left. It was in Shreveport. I think it was a Funny Bone, and it was in downtown Shreveport. And the club is not there anymore. And so the cops...
Probably on
the
insurance. Yeah. Probably a grip on the insurance.
The police who used to patrol that area, I think, were orange. Do you remember a couple of years ago when... what's his name? Tobin? Is that his name? No Country for Old Men, the fucking... Josh Groban.
Oh, Josh Groban.
Brolin.
Yeah.
Remember he got tased in Louisiana?
Yes, I do remember.
It was on that block. So they're very tased happy.
Tase Street.
Yeah.
They're down there on Tase Street. Yeah. That's what
and,
I would call
and they it. Wear like orange outfits. So this is an outfit that used to anyways. I think it was orange or vests. And they answered to themselves. They didn't answer to the rest of it.
Oh, they were like a gang?
No, they policed. This police force policed
They're
this
like
area.
They're like the guardian angels of
it's
the subway.
It's Tasing Tuesdays. Gang, 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 gang,
well,
gang.
The guy said to me on Thursday, he goes, we tase every headlining comedian after the Saturday Night Late Show. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. I thought it was funny because there's no way they tase. So they keep saying it to me. And I go, and I was laughing. I go, did everybody get tased? They go, everybody but Paulie Shore. He left after the early show just to make sure.
He was a second show. I mean, he's like, fuck that.
Yeah. And
is this
they tased me?
Is
both,
this
both legs?
Is what? This with the like this like the little handheld one or the shoot?
They
and
asked.
Then
they said, do you want the shot or do you want one in each leg?
I do the shot. That's
I went the one on each leg.
Really?
I thought the shot one.
Did you sit down?
Well, here's what I told him. I go, listen. First of all, I'll take the one on each leg, but you're gonna have to hold me up because you know this is where Papa makes his money.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? I can't be falling on the face. This is
why I asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
My cousin's a retired cop, and when they went through training for a while, they were tasing people standing up, and when they would seize and fall and break their nose or jaw or some shit, so they had to start putting them on their knees so that the fall wasn't as far. They could just go boom.
They also could just hold them.
They could. Yeah. Some big motherfuckers go dead weight there. You're just like, I could not hold Larry. Man, my back almost went out. I don't need to be out on disability. I need to be out on the streets.
I think you chipped a tooth. I think you chipped a tooth.
Got good dental coverage here at the PD.
Yeah, man. It was not good getting tased. It was not a whole lot of fun. But like, yeah.
So I want to get back to, we can always go off on a tangent.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. So through everything I went through, you were there for me. You checked in on me, and I can't say thank you enough because you went through that situation, which I want to talk about. But it does blow me away that you had pretty much a normal childhood. Like,
yeah,
you're close with all your brothers.
They all live here. We all moved here together.
Wow! And were your parents here now?
My parents moved closer. They ended up moving to Reno. They were in the East Coast until a couple months ago. But they all I had normal. When I say normal childhood, like, look, I had three older brothers. So however normal that is. You know, and I was telling you guys earlier, you just learn to take a fart to the mouth. That's the one thing.
You're automatically the honeydew of the family if you're the youngest.
It's why I never, bombing on stage never bothered me. Because I realized, this is what I realized early. Someone's going to fart in your mouth regardless. It's up to you if you want to get punched also.
Yeah. That's
and I decided, I'm not going to get punched. I'm just going to open my mouth.
Yeah,
and let the fart happen.
Just do it. Just do it when I yawn.
And that's how I approach life, man.
When I yawn,
just hit me when I yawn.
It's already open.
Come on, don't force.
There were times
just don't eat beets. Let's work the day beforehand, man. Come on.
There were times where I would lay down on the ground and just open my mouth just to take one, and then get up and go.
Who hadn't hit their quota yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only rule was like, I'm going to need you to wear jeans. I can't, there's no underwear.
Not Umbro Farm.
No,
it's got to be a thick, there's got to be a thick
denim
filter.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
nice mic sock.
But yeah, generally a normal childhood, man. And I had normal a normal example of what a mother and father is. I had a, they're still together. They're still both alive.
What about your brothers? Are they all married?
My two brothers are, two of my brothers are married. My oldest one isn't. My two, I'm the only person in my family who married a white girl.
And really?
I, yeah, which is mean I'm the only one still in the will. You know what I'm saying? But, no.
Did they marry
they
all black girls, Latinas, Asian?
Black girls.
All your brothers.
Black girls. So my two brothers above me both married a black girl. Okay. My oldest brother is single. We all live out
has
here.
Has he always been single or is he divorced?
Always been single. He dated somebody for a long time, but he's not going to. That's not his thing.
Right.
No, he's single by choice.
Sure.
Yeah. And he's
proud uncle.
Yeah. And he'll call. He's one of those guys, dude, who'll call you at 2 a.m. You know what I think? Oh, shit.
Yeah. What? Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait. These are the days I miss an answer machine.
Just fart in my mouth. You know what I mean? Yeah. So normal, which is why, honestly, my parents. Because my situation, what it ended up being,
right?
My parents, the joke was that I was the only white trash Jew that they had ever met. Like my dad walked into when I was a single dad, and I was living in an apartment in Hollywood, like this.
Yeah,
where the living room, you know, and I had three kids, and like there was sleeping bags all over the place and toys, and my dad walked in just like a crib and just food wrappers, and he walks in and he goes. You know, you're about this close to being Puerto Rican. He goes, I'm going to head back to the hotel. And I go, okay.
What hotel? I'm going to get one.
He goes, you can come meet me
book
over there.
Book one right now.
But it was so funny. He was like, what is happening here? How are you living like this? It was such a departure from anything my both sets of my grandparents married, not divorced. You know what I mean? It just wasn't. That's not how the situation was in our family.
Can we talk about it? How did you walk us through it? How did you meet this person? How old were you? And,
okay.
And how did you meet her?
I guess I was 24, 25, maybe.
And what do we call her? Is she your kid's mother? Like,
yeah,
what
my
do,
ex. How do,
your ex. Yeah. Okay. Because right. You were married.
Never married.
Okay. But your ex.
So I'm bartending in Seattle. And that's where I started doing stand-up basically.
Right.
With Joey Diaz and yes, Brody.
That goddamn safe story, I'll never forget.
Oh, my God. So she sat down at the bar with her friend Lynn.
So what are you, like 25?
25, probably.
All right.
And I got her a drink. She had a couple drinks. And I hadn't said much to her. And then she said, I bet you'd look good naked. And I was like.
Well, man, just like that?
Yeah, and that should have been a fucking tip for me, by the way.
I mean,
you know what
but
saying?
At 25, yeah. It is a tip. Yeah, it's just wrong thinking with the wrong tip.
So it was off and popping from there. She had two kids.
Do you guys leave the bar and go home together that night? How do you set up?
Yeah.
Because at 25,
I mean, you don't wait on that. When a girl says that, you
dive head first. She comes back to my place.
You do, but. This is 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So there are no cell phones or any of that shit. So do you exchange a number, see her later? Or are you guys, is she hanging around?
He's like, I'm going to take my break.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody go into the walk-in for a couple minutes. And don't serve that lettuce anymore.
IPA's unavailable for about 9 minutes.
9 minutes. That's generous. I appreciate it. But like, you know what? I have to tell you, now that I think about it, I don't remember if I brought her home that night or if I gave her my number. One of the two.
But she knows where to find you.
Yeah. Man, the craziest thing, and this is another sign that I should have known that it wasn't going to work. We did a hip-hop night every Friday, and it got packed, but dangerous. There were
it's where my brothers met their wives.
Yeah. He was the DJ.
Just ain't gonna hurt nobody. We're just dancing, y'all. Hey, how you doing, girl?
Gonna
be my sister. I see two sister-in-laws right over here, boys.
Get your metabolism to work for you.
There was one night, there was a guns drawn in the club.
This is in Seattle.
A guy had been thrown out. And when you get thrown out, when you can see them coming back,
No, it's a bad sign. Never good. That's you're right about that.
It's a bad sign. If you're thrown out and you're coming back to say something or do something.
Or do something, yeah.
And so
or both.
All of our bouncers saw him coming, and they all had guns, and our owner let everybody carry, which was fucking crazy.
That's insane.
Crazy. Every security guard that worked that night had
how many are we talking?
Got to be 10.
Jesus, that's an army.
Fucking the Magnificent Seven over there.
Yo,
this thing's only an eight shooter. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with the other two.
But well, I'm going to tell you something. The guy who ran that night was this Korean dude, and the owner was a Japanese dude, but the guy who ran that night was a Korean dude who was not to be trifled with. He beat the shit out of people unceremoniously and then would just dump them out in the street. This dude was not to be fucked with. And he was angry. So he was looking to beat people up. And so when he started to come back across the street, he turned to me and he got on the DJ booth and he goes, "Everybody get in the back." And we were like, "What?"
He got up on the mic?
Got on the mic because he saw this dude coming back like this.
And everybody's in the back. Oh! Yeah. Back to the back.
It's electric. Do, 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 do. To the right. Everybody to the back.
Clap. My man comes
clap.
In.
Clap. Clap your hands.
The next thing you know, four dudes, security guys with guns pointed at this one dude who's got a gun at the front door. I'm upstairs bartender, so I see this whole thing. I'm down behind the bar, right? And then I hear this. Ready? I hear, is Josh here? Now, the whole place is scattered. When what? The guns get drawn, people are jumping over tables. They're hiding under booths. There's no movement. There's just a bunch of people.
Chicks walking through bullets.
No, there's just a bunch of people screaming, "You get down! No, you get down! Drop your gun! No, you drop your gun!" That's all you hear. Drop Josh? Your gun, motherfucker! Yes, and then you hear, "Is Josh here? What?" And I could hear
is
the
this absolute shadow works.
Sorry, you double charged me for this, Cosmo.
I'm allergic to limes.
Tastes like you. Get the fuck down! Get the fuck down!
Excuse me, can I get some more olives over here? Just a couple more.
Can I have an extra napkin? I spill a little bit. So she walks right past the dude with the gun at the front and past the four security guys. And I hear one person go, I'm not going to say what her name is. Mary. Get the fuck down.
They know her.
Yes.
This person knows her.
It's my, at the time, I'm dating her. This is after
okay.
She walked, she was so mad at me for doing something. She didn't see that she was coming in to tell me off.
You're telling me she saw red and passed fucking
five
weapons?
And nobody else standing in the club. Everybody else lying down under tables. And I could hear her as plain as day. Where's Josh?
Oh, God, dude.
And I was, yeah, dude, it was insanity.
What is that saying? There's something like a woman scorned? I mean, that's it right there.
But I didn't scorn. That's the whole thing.
He just did work.
Yeah. It was
hip-hop night. Trying to serve some goddamn drinks.
Yeah, find
money.
My brothers some
find
wives.
Brothers
you know?
Wives. Some future ladies. Forever girls.
She saw you doing the running man with one of the other barbacks, and she was like,
what the fuck's everybody laying down back there? Is that a centipede party?
Yeah, man.
And y'all doing the worm?
It was, she was, but man, I'll tell you something. I fell in love with those two kids. I fell in love with her two kids.
Hold on. So she had two kids.
Yeah, I fell in love with her two kids.
And how old were they at the time?
Two and, what is that, 5 months?
I mean, babies.
Babies.
So they were, when you met her, how long into this are you just like, I'm in?
Honestly?
With the kids, not just the relationship. I mean, everything all in.
Everything.
6 months.
I'm going to tell you something right now. And this is, I guess I've never said this out loud before. I don't know if I was ever all in. I hate to blame her for the relationship. She had her problems.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, I brought her and those kids down, not because I wanted to be with her, but because I didn't want her to be alone with those kids. So I was never completely honest with her.
Okay.
I would tell you that if I was being honest.
I hear it.
But if it was the choice between me and her up there with those three kids, I just couldn't. That was not what was going to happen. I knew the end game,
and the kids.
Yeah, and so I didn't have any say about the older kids.
So she had more than two.
The two older kids, and then we had a baby, right? And then I. Here's the thing, man.
Okay, so all right.
I fell in love with those kids. I really liked her, man. I'm going to tell you something right now. She was super funny. I was young.
Yeah.
She was fun to go out and party with. There were so many. She was great at a party, in a room. She could talk to anybody. All these things. And then I said, I'm going to move to California. And then she got pregnant. And then I was like, well, I'm not leaving my kid up here with her. So I had to figure out a way. But I was also not leaving her two kids either. At that point, I was already past
They're your kids.
The point of no return with them.
Yeah.
And so my first thinking was, I will make this work. I will learn to love this person. You know that never
works. It's not going to work at all.
It never works. No. And you know what else, man? It's when I look back at the women outside of my wife that I've attracted, I save people. It's kind of what...
I do the same thing.
Me too.
I do 100% the same thing.
Me too.
When people are like, what's the most attractive thing about a woman? Pain. Like, I do. You know what I mean? Is she hurting? I like that a lot, you know? And so I wasn't going to do that. And I was like, all right, we'll figure it out. But I'm going to tell her to come down and that we're going to be together because that's the only way. She needs to hear that coming out of my mouth.
So how long are you with her before she gets pregnant? How long are you together?
2.5, 3 years.
Okay, so a little while.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, a little bit. And then
so now you got, what, 4.5, 5-year-old, you know, and then you still got everybody's still under 5 years old, all three of them.
We drove, the three of us. Well, she flew down with my... with Jacob, the youngest, but me and the two oldest ones when they were kids drove from Seattle down in the back of the car. And we did a lot of, I will tell you, man, I learned, I'm so glad I had kids young and I'm so glad I had kids young in this circumstance because, things that people stress out about in Hollywood, I never have.
I hear you on that.
I never, when I walk out of an audition, when my agent calls, he's reminding me, you know, you had an, I don't even, there's so many other things that are more important.
Mm-hmm. So many.
And so like, it made me grow up quicker than I would have, but I'm so glad it happened in this town because this town does the opposite to you. It makes you stay a child for longer. Do you know what I mean? Because inherently in this business, and I know people around the country are like fucking movie stars, conceited, stuck up, but it's inherent in the job. If your job, if your business is you, not a building, not a piece of paper, your business is you, Josh Wolf. That means every day I have to wake up thinking about Josh Wolf. How do I make Josh Wolf better? How do I make him look better? How do I make him sound better? That is all also inherently super self-absorbed. You have to be a certain level of douche, I hate to say it, or self-absorbed to hit a certain level of success in this town. There's no way around it. Now you might come back to earth, but like, you know what I mean? There's no getting around that shit. And so I don't remember how I got on that tangent, but when we bring her down.
Well, can I ask you, can we go back for a second? How did it all fall apart? Like what are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah. So she had some problems.
Okay. And did you know, were they consistent or was this a new thing? Or?
So, you know, early on, I'm not, and again, I never like people to think that I was just this perfect dude.
No, we're never innocent in any of our situations.
We partied together, man.
Yeah.
But I had an off switch.
Yeah.
That's it. And she just was not born with an off switch. And I don't begrudge her that.
Are those jumper cables?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yo, I'll tell you.
Try to shut this down. You got jumper cables?
Let me tell you how much of a knot of an off switch she had. She could, when it came to doing whatever, she could run with Joey. Her and Joey used to stay up late.
Wow.
Yeah. You ask Joe about her.
Yeah.
Ask Joe about her, and he'll tell you she's one of my favorite people I've ever met in my life. She was, right? She just spiraled a little bit. And so she's doing way better now. And man, I don't know if I was codependent or if I had just been like, it had been so bad for so long that I didn't need to throw her out or it just was just what it was. You know what I mean? There was one night, I don't know if I told you this story. Remember where the Union used to be?
Yeah.
Okay. The Union is like right,
Wilshire?
No, on Sunset, across from, Taco.
Yeah. What's that? Taco Cantina or
Cactus
something like
Cantina?
That?
Something
yeah,
like
that. Across from there, and there's like this little building that has an upstairs, downstairs. And
yeah, it's right. It's next to the old Dublin's.
Yes,
like right over in that
right across
pocket.
The street from there.
I know where that is.
So, I had a set one night, and Joey was at the house, and I was like, "Joe, I got to go because Mary was supposed to come back and look at the kids while I, that's what the deal was. Let me go do my set. You can go out and do whatever you want. But I had to call Joe because she wasn't back yet. And it was an early set.
Three kids.
So I called Joe. I go, come over, look at him, look after him. I'm going to go pick her up.
Joey Diaz is coming to babysit.
He was my babysitter.
You want me to read you a bedtime story?
Yeah. They loved him. I will tell you, he's the only person that could get my youngest son to sleep besides me. Fell asleep right in his arms.
You don't fall asleep on knocking your fucking head.
I'm gonna fucking kill you. His neck twice. He's sleeping like a baby.
I go to pick her up, and I'm at the door.
Wait, you're picking her up.
I have to go get her. She's out at happy hour.
Okay, so you know where she is.
All right. Oh, yeah. So I go to the doorman, and I don't have $10 to get in. I just don't. I go, hey, man, there's somebody in there I need to get. And he said, who is it? Maybe I can help you out. And I said, her name's Mary. And he goes, good choice. She gives great head. And I was like, that's what I heard.
So nah.
But that's the point in our relationship where we were at. When we got in the car and drove home, I was like, we'll call him
He's
John.
He's like, I don't know. That's what everybody says.
we'll call him John. And I said, John said you gave great head.
You said that to her?
Yeah, because that's where we were at in our relationship, where I didn't care. And she's
like, I never sucked John's dick. He just listened to what everyone else
said. That's what she said! Ding, 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 ding. I was like, oh, that's better. That's then don't worry about it.
Now, if Tony told you that's one thing,
you better. I want to know because I'm waiting to hear what he thinks. I put some extra work on no balls.
Yeah.
Extra work.
Yeah, an extra polish on that one.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
His balls were shining when I was done. I promise you that.
It ended.
That's why he was late, too. This is so happy hour.
Yeah, it's
midday.
Happy. No,
shit.
It's like seven.
All right.
You know, when my brother served her, he served her.
Wait.
Papers.
Yeah, I get that, but it got to a point where you're not together, and he had to go serve her.
I needed to get custody of my son.
Yeah.
All right. So can we talk about that?
Yeah.
So after an incident like this, you take her home. It's obviously a problem. You're still living together, though.
We're still living together. I didn't throw her out, man.
When did you finally leave? You let her stay. When did you split?
No, I kicked her out.
Oh.
And I kicked her out because it just was starting to affect. They had stopped asking where she was.
Okay.
And as soon as that happened, I was like, well, then there's no reason.
Yeah.
There's no reason. And so when I kicked her out, I was super happy to hear that she moved in downstairs. And I was like, not exactly.
You might shut those goddamn kids in the ceiling.
I'm trying to suck a dick down here. I got five dicks to suck during happy hour.
Sound like 12 kids up there. You let them run loose. Underneath you.
Nobody can suck a dick in private down here. Yeah, man. So, yeah.
I can't believe she moved in underneath.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't great.
The worst neighbor ever.
Gunk, gunk.
You know, she's a good mom, but she's a terrible motherfucking neighbor.
Oh, my God. But yeah, man.
Your garbage disposal's back up, goddamn. Oh, shit.
Stop running the water.
Kids coming down here to use my toilet like they my kid.
Oh, God damn. But yeah, so the
okay, does she help you when she's living underneath you?
Yeah, man. So if I need
so
to
you
do
had a babysitter, you got to do a show. She's reliable. She's there.
As reliable. This is what I will say in what I learned from being with her. I used to be ceremoniously dismiss people as bad parents, and I think that's unfair. I think some people are just as good as they can be.
I agree. I mean, I've learned that. I was the same way.
That doesn't make them
accept that.
It doesn't make them a bad person or bad. Like they're doing. I will tell you right now, she did the best she could do.
Right.
Nobody will ever convince me otherwise.
Some people are great construction workers. Some people are great firemen.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you're a good parent.
Just because you're a woman doesn't make you a great mom.
That's right.
It just doesn't. That's why when my friends used to bash her. I'm like, she did the best she could do. She really did. And I'll tell you something. From age 0 to 2, I don't know that there's anybody better with kids. When they start to form their own opinions, it was just not her thing.
Right.
And so
she loves babies.
Yeah, love babies. So, but she would, you know, watch them every now and then, you know, and if I needed to, if she wasn't doing something. And she.
And how did that work living like that? I mean, if she's living under you, it's just, I mean, it might as well be the same place in a different bedroom.
Exactly.
Right.
Except this gave her a little more freedom to do what she wanted to do without being judged.
She's like, I can finally suck dick in peace.
Call before you come down. But we're right up. Well, yeah. Call first. I'm just saying. Just call.
If there's a tie on the door. You know? But yeah, man. And then so eventually it got to the point where I was like, I need to secure custody of my son.
Now, this is now in L.A.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I need to secure custody of my son. And so I talked to a lawyer, and they were like, well, you got to serve her. So this court. Mm-hmm. And so I told my brother, I go, hey, I need you to serve Mary for me. Do you know how excited he got to get? He was like, what should I wear? Like a suit?
Yeah, what do you wear?
I'm like, this is not like
a... Make sure you wear a tie.
I go, it's not a TV show, man. Like, he was like, should I be undercover? I'm like, no, you don't need to wear a costume.
I've been served twice. They don't care about what they're wearing.
They're wearing shorts.
I'm like, are you in track shoes right now? Are you running in place, bitch?
Can you not serve me in flip-flops? Seriously.
You can't serve me. You're wearing Umbros.
Yeah, not those.
You got to wear pants.
Yeah, are those... Compression socks.
They have.
Got my
I got the pants.
I got the manny hose.
I got a manny hose right here drying on the rack.
Drying on the rack.
Where else would you dry?
Yeah, man? You have to. You don't want to shrink them down.
You can't, you can't put them in the dryer, man.
Mm-hmm. Burn them up.
But he served her in a bathroom at the Coffee Bean on Sunset Boulevard, doing coke in the bathroom with her friend in the afternoon. She was just having.
I got served having dinner with my daughter. I mean, that's quite a different story.
That's terrible. Who did that?
That's just when they came.
Oh,
I was like, the lady didn't even know. She's like, I'm sorry. She was nervous. And I was like, I know you're serving me. You just give me this document, right? This is for me. Yeah. Tearing this ass for you. You need to sign and stamp. She was like, thank you, man. This ain't my first rodeo. We got nuggets kicking going, girl. Yeah.
She's like, you mind if I take one of that mozzarella sticks on the road? You don't want to eat it. I mean, I'm hungry. I got 9 more people to serve. I don't know if I can have a meal.
It's daunting the first time it happens to you because it's stranger approach. But after that, you're just like, oh, don't worry. I know what we're doing.
Yeah. But she never showed up to court.
He found her in a Coffee Bean.
We knew that's where she was.
Doing coke with a friend is like, here's this. Yeah, so then she's failure to appear on that.
Doesn't come. I knew she wasn't. This is another thing I'll say about her. As fucked up as she was for a while, she never fought me because even with keeping her two kids, not having adopted them, which is her two kids,
a bit crazy.
But I mean, she,
my mother was that
did
way.
Did not try to fight it because she knew at the time what was better for them.
She knew she was a mess.
Fair enough.
She knew she was a mess.
Okay, that's she at knew least she was. At least she was self aware.
She knew she was. She knew like at that she wasn't fighting it at all. And so like that's exactly right. And it's one of the reasons like, you know, there's so much gray. There's so much gray. It's not black and white.
You know what?
Right?
You're so right about that. And that's big of you because why pay lawyers? They don't give a fuck about you. Why pay them just to fight because your ego says, I want to keep these kids when it really isn't in their best interest at all? So, I mean, that's a big moment.
There were some times. She surprised me with some of
this. So that's what I was going to say to you. Her, because the way I read my fucking papers was it basically you, if you decide not to appear, you're basically waiving your rights.
Yes.
And leaving it at the.
Yes.
They may still say no, but you're leaving it at their discretion.
Yes. Not making you look good. Yeah. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And so she just didn't show up. And that was it.
Did you check the Coffee Bean?
Tropical patches on sale there. God damn it.
No, not the rest, the bathroom part. Stall number two. But it was different for me to be in that situation because I had never seen it before.
Yeah.
Honestly, I had never seen it before. It wasn't something that I didn't grow up with. Like I said, my grandparents together, yes. Both sets. And so their divorce and family turmoil wasn't something that I was used to. It fucked me up. it fucked me up for a while. You know, there were nights that I would, especially after kicking her out and being in that apartment and being like, well, she was the breadwinner.
She's like, listen, motherfucker, I'm putting a fireman in the pole in this place right now. I'm coming up and down when I want to.
She was the breadwinner. Our deal was moving down. She's going to get a job at an office or some shit like that, pay the bills. And I was going
to do stand up
at night. Yeah. That works for both of us. And, so when she left, I made it, like, that's when I started making at most of that. I catered at El Cholo.
Yeah.
Forever, man. And the reason I catered at El Cholo wasn't the money, is that they gave me all the food after this. So one catering gig would pay me $100, but I could feed the kids quesadillas for 3 days.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was basically.
Yeah.
Better eat that pig in the gallo.
Oh, yeah.
That's all the pico you get.
By the way, yeah, we did bowls of that shit.
Save me some of the de gallo.
Yeah, that's not pico de gallo. That's called tomatoes and onions.
That, the guy,
yeah.
Without the pico,
y'all can have the pico. Give me the guy, y'all got it.
The guy, that's brilliant.
Can I tell you that I changed the name of it to make it sound like food to them? They were like, "Give us tomatoes and onions." I was like, "It was tomatoes and onion salad." So we would just eat a bowl of tomatoes and onions. Enticing. Yeah, like we made the food that we. Have you ever had a syrup sandwich?
Nope,
no, but I've heard about it from, you know, like the Martin Lawrence specials. I mean, I never had one.
We would toast it. We would spread butter on it, and then you'd put syrup on it, and then we'd put the rich people stuff, which was the powdered sugar.
Ooh, that's like an eggless French toast.
Exactly,
yeah, it's probably delicious.
It was the best, and they thought it was rich people's food because I would sprinkle the powdered sugar on it. You just had to.
Well, you had to use your imagination. You literally, when you were dealing with the kids, how old were the kids, by the way?
6, 4, and 1.
Everything is an adventure. Yes. If you make it an adventure. So you were just playing. It's life is beautiful.
That
it's,
was the exact attitude that I took, which was, it wasn't that I didn't have money, but how else could we have fun? Like when you're 6, 4, and 1, you can have fun anywhere. As long as the people around you are that you
have are leading you on an adventure.
Yeah, that's
all
it.
You need is life love is all and trust that this person's going to take me somewhere fun. That is it.
We used to put them, when I say we, I said me, we couldn't afford, I couldn't afford like an amusement park. So I would, at night, I would put them in the trunk of my car and I would drive around empty parking lots. And go over speed bumps and shit. Oh, they loved it.
That sounds fun. Yeah,
they would tumble. It was dark. And, you know, and I would tell you something. I think the exhaust put my kids to sleep, dude, because it would come in through the trunk.
It's like, we're going to the amusement park this weekend, which is just the laundry room. You're like, get in the dryer.
Yeah, go. Spin cycle.
He's like, mom, bungee cord just to a motorcycle. This is so much safer. Wait, can I just stop you for a second?
Yeah.
So after you get custody, now, are you both still living upstairs, downstairs, or then do you move out or she moves out? Like, when do you actually break away from that?
I did. Okay, I was at a point with maybe $27 in my bank. And, I appreciate my parents for this, by the way. You know, I knew in my heart they were never going to let me live on the street. My dad told me that. You and the kids are never going to let them on the street. But up until that point, you're on your own. That if that means you got to live off of $10 for 2 weeks, this is what you chose. So this is what you do. Now, you're never going to be homeless. We're never going to let that happen. But up to that, if you don't eat for a day, hey, you chose to do this. Go get a job. And I was,
okay. Yeah.
But he was right. He was right. And so what was the question you asked me?
At what point did you guys finally no longer live above each other?
I couldn't afford therapy. This moment in time changed my comedy entirely.
How could it not? Yeah.
Because it taught me that the truth and honesty is funnier. What you really think and what you really feel is funnier than whatever the fuck you're making up. And so I started to use the stage as therapy because I couldn't afford a therapist.
Yep.
And I was getting laughs I had never gotten before. And I was getting reactions after the show. Like, you get something like, hey, man, that was funny. That's what I was used to. But instead of people connecting and being like, you know what? That happened to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, a connection. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is completely different. And so I told my manager at the time, I'm going to do a one-man show. And this is basically going to be my last shot because I need to get a job. And I did this show, and I told some shit, man, that I had never told anybody. It was such a mixture. I told I don't know if I've, all right. So when my daughter was really young, and look, man, I was a young man. I was living off of nothing. You know, you're, as a parent, your frustration level, look, anybody who tell your frustration level, you say things, you do things that the minute later you can be like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it can eat you up for months. So it was one of those days where I was on the phone with people calling for money. They needed money. They like this and things being turned off. And my daughter loved my youngest son and used to pick him up, but she was four. And I was like, babe, you can't pick him up. And so I'm yelling at this dude on the phone, more phone calls, more creditors. I look in, she picks him up. They fall on the couch. And I'm like, hey, you can't pick up your brother. Watch TV. I got to make this phone call. And I had just gotten $5,000 gig taken away from me, which was basically for me,
$50,000.
Yeah, might as well have been a million.
Right.
It's 3 months.
Yeah.
It's 3 months. And at a time where I needed a month. And
she's not giving you any money for support or anything like that?
She picked him up and my daughter picked him up again. And as I was turning the corner, she dropped him, but she dropped him on the, you know, the sliding glass door, the tracks.
Yeah. Oof.
And his head just went whack. And I, you know, I didn't punch her, but I gave her a gack to the back of the head. I was mad. And I told that story on stage. And it's impossible not to, the flood of emotions that just picturing her face when I did that, because you're talking about somebody who trusted you so explicitly and what she lost in that moment, she could never get back. And that was so crushing for me. And it was a brutal moment. And I remember telling that story at that one man show. And because I told it, because I was like, I need to get this out.
Yeah, it's got to get out.
I can't live with this. I need to get this out and put it in the context of my life, of what. And I ended up getting two TV deals off of that. So like when that happened. Like when she left. And I had one last shot and I was going to go. This was my one last shot. And because I was ready to not put my kids through that shit anymore. No, you know what I mean?
Fuck yeah.
And so that was the moment, dude. Like, you know, it's funny when she and I have never talked about that.
Never.
No.
She's heard you say it?
No. And you know what? I don't think, and I'm going to make a point to do that this weekend, I don't think I've ever apologized to her. It's interesting. It affected me physically.
I see how it affects you now.
It is just thinking about her face is just, it's crushing because your kid looks to you for safety. And so when you take that, what do they have?
Right.
And it really dawned on me. The effect that people have when they do that shit to their kids. You are the Superman. And when Superman is also beating you up, no wonder. They're, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Who's going to save the world?
Yeah. It was, but all of that time and moment taught me so much about honesty and truth and what's really important. And I mean, you look, man, last night there was a dude who we both know. Who apologized again, man, I owe you a text. And I told him straight up, I go, no, you don't. Like that kind of shit, because of that stuff and because of none of that fucking bothers me anymore. Do you know what I mean? It all seems so inconsequential. But that's probably why I don't have a great career.
I think you have a great career.
Fantastic career.
But you know, like that time, I can tell you honestly, if I hadn't met this woman and had kids, I don't know how much I would have liked the Josh Wolf that would have ended up coming through the pipeline.
we talk about that. Like, had my father not died, if my mother didn't abandon me, like, would I be here? Where would I be where I am today? I don't know. I don't know who I'd be or what I'd be. And then you look back at it, but at least you're at a level where you've thought about it and you've dealt with it. Like, you know, it's, I don't want to say in any way that shit's a blessing, but it's what you made of it. It's what you made of the situation and who you are from it and who you become by it. But you were a single dad with three kids full time. I mean, I don't know how the fuck you did that. I'm co-parenting with my daughter's mother. And I want to say this. We're recording in my apartment. So this place was the place I didn't want to be in the valley an hour away from my kid one way, throwing her in a car and, you know, lose custody or any of that. So, yeah, I pay a stupid price for an apartment that, it's got an electric fucking stove. I'll just be straight up with you. There's no heat. Oh, well, there's heat. There's no central heat, no central air, but...
But, dude, do you... Let me ask you something.
I don't give a
would
fuck.
You do, yeah, would you do it any differently?
For to be 2.5 miles from my kid and over there... And I tested shit. I drove this fucking route from her mom's house in the rain and rush hour. I was like, that couldn't be any worse in this city. And I was like, I can get here in 17 minutes. And any other time I'm there, I could take freeway. I'm there in 11 minutes, you know. So I'm in the area. I'm close. And I grew up in little tiny places. And I can tell you, you know, losing my dad and my mom not being around, like, I never gave a fuck how big our house was. I never was envious of anyone else that had a big house. I just always cared about what happened inside those walls and how that felt. It never. I still don't care.
I think the people who probably care are people who did not have the other things happen to them.
Maybe true.
Who didn't see maybe what was more important. You know what I mean?
I don't want, even at the level if I can afford one, I would never want a palatial mansion ever. I don't, what the 20 room. I never understood it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't need a big house.
It's like a Rolls. When I see someone driving a Rolls Royce, I'm like, I would have to have every dollar.
That's right. Every dollar.
Every dollar.
Yeah.
Where I don't even know.
Well, it's a competition.
It's time. Time's the most valuable thing. And I'm not saying adding more time onto your life. I'm just saying, like,
quality
time. When I sold the show and I had all this money, I tried to buy flashy stuff to impress people. And then that wasn't making me happy. And then what I realized, what I wanted more than anything was time to do the things that I want to do. That is more valuable. That's more of a way to show off, to be able to enjoy your life. You know, and spend time with your kids. That's what's important.
I'd rather have a bigger yard than a bigger house.
Yeah, I remember
any
being
day.
Yeah,
of
because
the
your
week.
Kid can get out there and go.
But I can get out there. I can ride a goddamn four wheeler out there if I want to. I can't ride that through the fucking house.
You got set up a
wiffle
ball
white
park?
Trash ride.
I want is to get a place on like the Chesapeake or something like that, salt water, or I can ride a four wheeler. Fish, throw a crab trap in the water, and every weekend have a crab feast. That's all I want to do. Kids come.
That's fucking great.
That's all I want to do.
Yeah, that's great, right?
That's it. And it doesn't need, I don't want a fucking 20 room home with a 6-car garage. You know, I don't need a man cave. I don't need any of that stuff. Just,
I really feel like
some peace and quiet when I need it.
Yeah, yeah. So you get an apartment downstairs.
Let me get on this AT.
That's why you get that apartment
I
down
can't
there.
Stand you, motherfucker. I just signed a lease. I'm your new neighbor.
Keep it down up there. Keep it down. But yeah, man, it's interesting. Well, let me ask you a question. After you got your dog, did your and I don't mean to compare dogs to kids because I've had both. I don't. But when you have a dog and you haven't had a kid, that is your kid.
So yeah, keep going. So.
Has it changed? Has it changed
your
perspective?
It's made me a better person. All I want to do right now is just make sure I make enough money to make sure that dog is happy. And like, it's put me on a routine in life. So everything in my life has gotten better 100% because I'm waking up early. I have responsibilities, but the most, dude, I can't tell you, like the other day I was petting the dog on the couch and I was like, I promise you are going to have the greatest life. I love you so much. I'm going to make sure. That's why I'm working harder. Like, you know, I'm not a depressed person because of that dog. So because of that, you know, I want to make sure that dog's taken care of.
It's interesting. Like when the first time in your life happens where you don't think about yourself, that's what it is that you for the first time, and some people like it and go, oh, I'm actually kind of meant for this. And some people are like, yo, what about me?
Well, I want a kid. I really do. I'm at that point now where I'm, you know, I'm about to be 40 next year, and I really want to have
a child. Do you want
one
of my grandkids?
I mean, I'll take him for the weekend. I mean,
You know, I'll take him on an adventure. I mean, if it's used to syrup sandwiches, I think I can do okay. You know what I mean?
The bar is set kind of low.
Yeah, dude, I got this.
I'll make it hell. There's no high fructose corn syrup.
I'm going to be a fantastic dad. I've always loved being around kids, and kids always, you know, my nieces and my nephew just love me so much. And when I was out visiting, I was able to like get down there and just be like, let's go do this. And they're just like, yeah. So I'm at that age now where it's, you know, I'm looking for the perfect woman to have a perfect kid with.
Well, listen, if you want to borrow a couple kids just for a test run. You know what I'm saying?
Can you put them in a crate and still go and do shit?
That's what you take to the dog park. You could definitely do that.
Well, you can.
So you're now a single dad in Los Angeles, three kids. You've told some stories on the Crab Feast about how you got by.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, in the store. But the food, eating food while you grocery shop is a classic move. I love that one. And then at what point do you meet your current wife?
Well,
how does that all go down? And real quick, sorry, do you still have a relationship with your kid's mom?
Yes.
Your ex?
Yes.
And is that?
Yep.
All right. Good. Yep. Very good. She sees the kids and
Her
or
relationship,
can when she wants.
She can when they want. They're grown-ups.
Good point.
They're all over 21. Right.
I forget about that.
So I have no, you know,
it's their business now.
It is. Yep. If they want to talk to me about it, they can. I try not to pry too much in it because they're grown-ups. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And plus, I'm fucking sick of parenting, so I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah, you're on the grandparenting, which we're going to get to.
So, so we have a relationship with them. I meet Beth. I get a couple of TV deals from that one-man show. And so things are going better, but I'm still raising the kids, and my manager at the time was like, I'd like to set you up with this girl. And I said, I was at a point in my life where I was 100% no on meeting people, because I was at a 7 out of 10 for happy. I know that a bad relationship brings you back down to a 0.
Yeah.
And I just was not at a point in my life where I wanted to risk 0.
Everything was going well.
Yeah.
Everything was good. You didn't want to disrupt the flow.
No, a 7 is great. If you could walk through your life at 7, your whole life.
Dude, 7's perfect.
Perfect. Yeah,
perfect.
Sight. And so he sends me a picture, her headshot, and a movie that she had written, produced, and directed. And this is a long time ago. So I look at the picture, and he also was like, yeah, she's just gone out with, I don't want to say the A-list, but she just got done dating this dude. And I look at the picture, and I look at the movie, and I'm like, she's too good looking. I have 3 kids. She's dating A-list actors. I drive a minivan. Do you know what I mean?
I can't compete with a girl that dated Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, come on, man. Work.
Ed Begley.
We're going to have to ride bikes all the time. By the way, that dude, you know, he's total conservative guy, conservatism, like, he only rides his bike, solar house.
Yep.
You see him ride around Studio City.
Yeah, I know where
he is. He'll pick up cans on the street and put them in his car to run on gas or something. Mm-hmm. So, he's bananas. So, I was set up a date with her, and the first, very first date, I stood her up.
Ooh. That's very unlike you.
I just was scared.
Yeah.
I just was like, you know what? This will get the point across. And so the second date, she called me the next day.
Okay.
Mad. Yelling. Hey, just say you don't want to come. Just say you don't want to come. Like, what kind of person are you?
Yeah.
And I
turned down sushi with The Rock.
The Rock.
I was gonna have some crispy rice and tuna, damn it. But she was mad, and I respected that so much. And I started to talk to her a little bit, and then I was making dinner for my kids at the time.
But at that point, had your manager filled her in on he's a single dad? Okay, so she knew that.
And by the way, she wasn't psyched to go out with me either, because he was like, he's a comedian like Robin Williams. And she was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's not a good pitch.
He's a clown.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a good
pitch.
You're
asking me to go out with a clown. that's what we are.
But she, anyways, we got through it. She came over that night. And I was like, I'm in. And the first date, first actual date we ever went out on, it's online. It's a story online, but I shit my pants. The first actual time we went out to dinner.
Nerves?
I'm a mouth sneezer. You know what I mean? Like a screamer, like la.
I was gonna say,
how that's how my dad used to sneeze. Like,
That's
my dad does that.
Those people to hold it in.
Those people, they're gonna die soon. They're gonna go.
That shit's gonna pop. It's like,
that noise.
Rip.
The boom. What the fuck? So on the first date, and the night before, I had gone out, and I'm not a drink that much, and it always fucks up my stomach, is why. But the night before, I'd gone out, I've been drinking, I went out with her. And I went to mouth sneeze. I didn't want to do that because it was loud and obnoxious. And I had never done this before, but I plugged my nose.
Oh,
shit myself.
Shit yourself.
Immediately.
I think you
an immediate reaction.
I got to ask, a lot or like just like a little taste?
No, it was enough to.
Jackson! All right, I gotta go. Yeah. I hate to leave so early.
I'm keeping it time sensitive. Yeah. There were no Ubers and Lyfts back then.
It was not.
I'm in this story.
It was not a little.
Yeah.
It was not a little.
Even a little is too much shit. Can I in your pants on date one?
Yes.
That's some marriage.
So can I tell you what she said to me? So I shit myself, and I had a crazy look on my face, right? And she just looks at me, and she goes, "Excuse me, I'm going to use the restroom." And I was like, "Okay." And I thought, okay, I'm going to get up and go. But then I thought, if I'm going to have to do the poop walk out of here.
You will.
Which is a distinct walk.
There's and also, you don't know if it leaked enough that you could see that in the back of your
head. So I really got to think this out. And I'm like, I'm going to need her help to get out of here. That's the bottom line. I'm going to need her help to get out of here. So she comes. This is exactly how it happened. She comes back and she sits down. And because I decide I just got to tell her. And I look at her and I go... I gotta tell you something. And she goes, you can tell me anything. And I said, well, we're about to find out, aren't we? We're about to test that theory. And I said, I shit myself. And this is how I knew I was gonna marry her. And she goes, I know. I go, what? She goes, I'm sitting 2 feet away from you. You don't think I could smell that you have shit in your pants?
Oh, my God.
She said, she leans in. She goes, you know, everybody around here knows you have shit in your pants. I go, no way. And the dude at the table next to me was like, yeah, dude.
Everybody.
He said, when are you leaving? I was like, right now.
God damn.
But she stuck with me. And that's when I knew. I was like, nah, I'm probably going to stick with this girl.
And how long you been together?
This will be 18 years.
So she takes you in, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
yo,
3 kids.
This is what she did for me immediately.
Puts up with you and your...
And the ex. And the kids.
That's right, and the ex.
She's also Catholic. I'm a big Jew, right? Big fat Jew. I had always done Christmas, but I didn't grow up with Christmas. Did you do Christmas in your house also?
We did. We celebrate Christmas, yeah.
So we only did Hanukkah. I had never decorated a Christmas tree. So the first Christmas, my wife, my then Beth, comes over, and all of the ornaments were on 2 branches. Because I didn't know you're supposed to have hooks.
So you just set them on there?
I was stringing them.
Oh, okay,
so I would pick the needles off with the, because I would go to the tree every year, first day the trees went out, and I would be like, I need your thin branch tree. Because I thought everybody went early to get the thin branches, and then they would just put the ornaments on. But I
like
could only.
The full thick ones are the ones left behind.
The only
ones
left.
Ones.
Yeah, yeah. So the
look
only.
At this full ass piece of
so
shit.
So all of the ornaments were on 2 arms and they were just weighed down. And so she came in, she was like, what's the deal? I was like, what do you mean? She goes, why are they all? She goes, well, that's, I told her, it's only 2 thin branches. She goes, you need hooks. I was like, hooks. Got it. So okay, she fixed things up right away.
All
right. Right away. Made it better, man. And the kids didn't have to have the fucking two branch tree. That was terrible.
And how long you been together?
18 years.
18. I mean, man, that's a long time, dude.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And good for her. Good for you, first of all. You deserve it. I'm glad you guys found each other because she's awesome. She's really fucking awesome.
Yeah, she's smarter and better. And,
she's so talented.
Yeah. And a writer-director that just like her writing skills blow me away.
And now you're a grandfather. How many grandkids? You said 4?
4.
Okay, so who has what? 2 each, 3 and 1? All 4? Your oldest?
Yeah. So and then he after when the first when he got pregnant the first time he was
how
like,
old was he
first time 21.
Oh, he's young. Okay,
so he calls and he was like, hey, you're gonna be a grandfather. And I was like, okay.
Is he married at that point?
Yep. Okay. And he said, you get to pick out your grandfather name. And I was like, great. And I was like, let me call That's you back. Nice. I go, let me call you back tomorrow. And
we ain't going with people.
People. Yeah. And he said, but give me three choices. Because he knows.
Give me Papaw, Peepaw, and Pee-Pee-Paw. That's one of them three. I have a design.
Yeah.
Grandpoo.
Yeah. Poopaw. My wife and I were both like, nobody's calling me grandma.
Chester. Nobody's want to be called Chester.
Just call me Doug.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug. That's what I should have gone with.
You should have gone with Doug.
So my wife went with BB.
Okay.
She didn't want to be called grandma. And my great grandmother was called BB. She went with BB. So my son asked me, he goes, what do you want them to call you? And I said, LeBron.
Fuck you, dude.
That's what he said. Yeah. He goes, LeBron? I go, yeah, man. I go, how cool is it if your kids are like, we're going to BB and LeBron's house? That sounds like a
it does actually.
It sounds like a 70s sitcom, doesn't it? Would you go to BB and LeBron's?
Hell yeah.
It sounds like the greatest soul group from the 70s.
BB and LeBron. It's party time. Get down tonight. BB and LeBron.
All right, everybody. Yeah. We got BB and LeBron playing at the Wolf Trap Amphitheater.
Wolf Trap in Virginia.
Yo, he wouldn't let me do LeBron. He said no.
How dare him?
Yeah, but he said to me, he goes, does everything have to be a joke? And I go, are you new? Yeah, this right? is what we've been doing your whole life.
Yeah.
But I went with JoJo.
All right.
So it's BB and JoJo.
That's easier to say for the kids.
I just went down and saw them a couple weeks ago in Texas. My son is overseas and now he's in the army, so I went down and just hung out with the kids and just fucking, it's so, being a grandfather is so much easier, because when I wanted to leave, I was like, you know what, everybody, I'll see you tomorrow, I'm going back to the hotel to get high as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Can we come stay at the hotel with you,
JoJo? Nope. Go smoke a joint. Nope. Joint.
JoJo's gonna go get high.
JoJo get stone.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You said that your history with women was you looked for people, maybe indirectly or subconsciously, but you saved. You wanted to save
people. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you feel that you were saved? Do you feel like the role reversed with Beth and that for once you let go and trusted and then you were then saved?
What a great question. Yes. You know, she allowed me for the first time in what I could remember to let my shoulders down.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
Exactly what that means.
That's the best way I can describe it.
I keep them up.
Is that I didn't know I was like this.
Yeah.
Until I was like this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I had never had anyone support me 100. Yo, when I do something, you know what she says? That's the best thing I've ever seen. She is on board. And so I'd never had anyone fill me up like that. And so it was really, I never looked at it like that. But yes, she definitely took me from a 7 to a 10, and she provided things for my kids that I could have never. Yeah, she really did. In a way that I didn't think was possible, because I was happy to stay at the 7, you know?
Right.
I was happy to stay at the 7. But it's those extra, it's the 8, 9, 10 that is the real juice. It's the real good stuff, you know what I mean? And that's what I learned, is that like that extra little bit is so much better than just that 7.
Fuck yeah.
You know?
Did you fire that manager to connect you guys?
Yeah. It's the only
that is the only good thing that came out of that.
I told him, by the way, by the way, this is the only thing I've ever booked you sent me on. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
great. There you go.
Perfect. That is fucking perfect.
But yeah, man. And now that we're empty nesters.
God, you're not even 50 and you guys are empty nesters. I'm 45 and I got a full nest up in here.
Yeah,
I got,
you do.
I got hawks swooping in and squirrels and everybody like, get out of here.
I was trying to bring some extra straw back to the nest. Man. Yeah, man. It's so crazy because I'm living the reverse of most people I know.
Yes, you are.
I'm living in the reverse. When I had to be home by 10, you know, everybody else was out fucking bing, 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 bing. And like, you know, what was super cool for me and a great experience, I'm not sure I ever told you this, that I get to have with my daughter at one of your shows. It was at the Lyric when the AC went out.
Oh, that was such a great night.
I was there.
There's something about a group of people when something like that happens and everybody's experiencing it together.
And it's like, small and tight like that.
And the energy and the heat almost added to the energy. And I got to bring my daughter that night. And it was such a...
Isn't that the night you went shirtless and wore the leather pants?
Yes. Was that Wrecking Ball? Yeah. Or was that...
That was Wrecking Ball. Okay. Yeah. And so the one thing I will say about having kids young is to be able to do that kind of stuff with them now and to be able to have my friends help me get them to experience shit like that is so cool. The fact that my kids were at my wedding and my son walked me down the...
That's awesome.
Like, all that stuff is like... I know it's backwards, but Jacob is my son, is my co-host on that show.
I know, I love it.
And like, to be able to do that kind of stuff with him and still be young enough to enjoy it is, I would not change anything that happened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to change. I know some people, it used to bother me. And one of the reasons I don't talk about this part of my life that much is because in the past when I have, people get sad. And I'm like, this isn't... I'm in a great place. My kids are in a great place.
This is a happy ending to this story.
Yeah,
if you were still eating sugar sandwiches or whatever.
Yeah.
I can understand, but yeah, you've come out of that.
That's what this show is. Yeah. I can't say it's about happy endings all the time, but it's about people who've dealt with the adversity and have moved on and are better for it. You know,
how long do you? My big thing is, and my dad said this to me too. After she left, he was like, "How long do you want to sit in it?"
Yep. How long do you want to sit in your own shit? I said the same thing. I'm like, I need to. For a little bit, you need to, though. You do need to for a little bit. Because if you just run from it, if you just ignore it, if you just, abuse substance or gambling or addiction through it, then you don't deal with it. You need to fucking sit in your own shit for a little bit. You're part of the reason you're there. And if you ignore that fucking part of it, man, you're doomed.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out your fucking role in it. Sit in your shit a little bit. But then there comes a moment and a time when you got to get the fuck up and go take a goddamn shower.
Wipe your ass.
And get on back out there and be the best version of you. You can be day by day. That's all you need to do. You don't need to worry about where 5 years, 10. Just every day you try to be the best version of yourself you can be.
Up to you. Like, you got one ride on the rock. Up to you how you want to spend your time.
That's
you want to spend it mad? On Twitter? Yelling at people you're never going to meet?
Who gives a fuck? Okay.
But you're going to look back 10 years from me now and be like, what the fuck happened?
Right.
I was yelling at people on Twitter and nothing changed. Do you know what I mean? Or I was mad every day. What the fuck? It doesn't seem worth it.
I want to go back to one question, and then we're going to talk about something else that we talked about off mic. But what you said, let your shoulders down. And man, that resonates with me so much because there are times where I make myself do that and I feel like, oh God, what moment if you can pinpoint, like, what moment did you trust her with the kids? Did you know, like, you could leave her with the kids and go do whatever and come back and be like, hey, she can handle this. This is the one. Like, what do you remember at least a time or a moment?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly what it was.
Because I know how big that is. I go on care.com, my daughter's mom. We have Find Strangers to watch our kid. And it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And then if you decide, like, okay, this woman's not only going to be the one that takes care of my heart, she's also going to be the one that takes care of my kids. Like, that's double. So when did you know?
This is going to sound strange, but I told her a week in, I was like, I think we're going to get married. And she was like, I think so too. But I also said, hey, you can't meet the kids for at least 6 months. And she said, I agree. And as soon as she said, I agree, I was like, oh, she's in this for the right reason.
All right.
And she's got a good head. She wasn't begging me to meet the kids. She wasn't like, well, I need to meet the kids. Because to me, then you're clouding it. We need to figure out, is our relationship good? Then you can have a relationship with my kid.
That's right.
I don't know why you need to meet my kid. That was always a red flag to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how you're going to get to me.
No.
Through my kid. That is weird to me that you want to spend time with my child before we're... Sure. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I'm a big fan of waiting even a little longer if you need to, especially if they have kids. Then you're connecting these kids.
Yeah.
Now, they probably get along great, and then all of a sudden you're breaking up this relationship, and then there they go as well. So
100%.
I'm with you on that.
When she told me that,
there's no reason to rush that.
It's actually because most of those relationships end. So then what you're teaching your kids is that's what relationships are supposed to be.
I got a roster of babysitters. Yeah. You don't need to be my daughter.
But yeah, man. So when I realized, she's in this for the right reasons. She got a good head on her shoulders. She came, it's also important to me. She's super close to her brother and sister and to her mom. And I was like, this is, I get
healthy.
This. I get this. Yeah. I get this. And so that was it for me. And just talk, she just was, had a good head on. She was sensible. She's just, you can kind of tell, you know what I mean? And so, but the longer it went on, I was like, yeah, this is not an issue. And my, you know, 3 months, 4 months in, my youngest son was calling her mom. Now, my daughter was calling her the babysitter until she, yeah, for a couple of years. She was fucking with her. She was like, you leaving us with the babysitter? I'm like, you mean my wife?
Wow.
Oh, my daughter was not.
She, I was going to say, leave it to a woman to put shoot it straight.
Yeah.
She was not fucking having it. But I will tell you right now, my daughter now calls her mom, calls her for before she calls me for anything. It's amazing. Beth has done above and beyond the call.
She's fantastic.
I got really fucking lucky, dude. I got really lucky.
You're a good guy. It's not luck. Good energy attracts good energy.
Yeah, but like, I appreciate that, man. But like, you know.
No, he got lucky.
Yeah. I had three kids driving a minivan.
I was going to say,
the second you shit your pants, I was in love.
I knew.
I smelled peanuts.
That's my brand.
Your pheromones were mine.
I smelled spoiled pad thai, and I knew.
Like, when you step outside yourself, and you look at yourself, and you flip your baseball card over, and you look at your fucking stats, you're a single guy, you're a struggling comedian. This is at the time.
Yep.
You have three children. Two who are stepkids that you've adopted, one that's a biological kid, you got to deal with an ex. I mean, that's a lot of fucking baggage to bring with you. And for her to jump in like that, I just think it's awesome, man.
I tell people all the time, man, like people are always like, your story, my story. I had it way easier than Beth. The kids accepted me right away. They were young enough.
That's right.
There was never a struggle. They were craving male attention. They had a mom. As fucked up as she was at the time, they had a mom.
Right.
Beth was not given that open arm, you know, I love you no matter what reception. She was the babysitter. Mm-hmm. And I had very specific ways that I wanted to raise the kids. She had to step in line.
That's the other thing. Like, I say that too. Like,
you know?
My schedule is so crazy. That's the whole thing about, like, we talked about scheduling podcasts. Like, my schedule is, it's a crazy regimented schedule. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's all over the place 1 week, next week, and this and that. But it's, quote, normal for me at this point. And I say it all the time, for anyone to fall into, because they're considering you completely. Uh-huh. Like, when are you available? I got to fall into your schedule all the time. For any woman to do that, she's amazing. I'm glad you found her.
Me too, dude. I'm
glad your kids found her.
Yeah.
Glad she's up from the babysitter now. Yeah. What is she now?
Well, she's mom now. She's mom. You know?
Yeah, now she's the au pair.
She's BB.
She's BB. Yeah, she earned BB. That.
She earned it big. Look, I will tell you, with the amount of shit she took, she especially, think about this. I would go on the road. She was at home with one kid who loved her and one kid who called her the babysitter.
Yeah. Right.
And you know what? My daughter apologized to her later in life. And you know, Beth said something to her and just proves how good of a person she is. She said, Caitlin, it was never your job to love me. It was my job to love you.
Wow.
That's a great answer.
That gave me chills. That is a great.
That's beautiful.
I when she said that, I was like,
yeah. She gets it.
Yeah.
She gets
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She
yeah,
gets
yeah, yeah.
it.
But it was so simple, and so I was like, you know what? That actually is parenting. It's like, not your job.
I love you, but I'm moving down.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to love you from the first floor.
That's right.
No. Yeah, man.
Man, that's a great story, dude. Like I say, I know a little bit about it, but I said, I'm your hindsight at this point. Like, I really listened to you, and you were constantly like there every step of the way, and now I'm grounded, and I can't thank you enough for checking in on me. And,
yeah, of course,
and,
dude.
I want to talk about this other story now, because this is just a separate story of craziness. And again, it does fall in the honeydew We're all have a honeydew story. We're all honeydews, but you were harassed. Is it what's the proper term here? Stalk.
I have a stalker.
You currently have a stalker.
Yes, I mean, and
how long has this been going on?
I would have to check the emails.
Years, months,
yeah, years, pre-Beth.
Oh wow,
pre-Beth? No, right at the beginning.
So you
for like 20 years?
No, at the beginning. So probably, I'm sorry, not pre-Beth. So got to be 14 years.
Good God.
14 years yeah. You've had a stalker?
Yeah. Sandy Wang.
Her name is Sandy. That's her real name.
I never checked her ID.
But what she...
Let me see that.
That's a great name.
Let me see that.
Is it S-A-N-D-Y? You got two E's on the end there.
Is that an I-E? Do you put a heart at top?
Sandy Wang or Dusty Dong? Dusty Dong. It's a brother.
I thought she was totally normal. We were at that Mulholland Dog Park, and she had a little chihuahua. I had a boxer pit mix, and her chihuahua was the only dog that never tried to hunt my dog. So we used to hang out together, and we would take a walk around, you know, the out where the fence is. And one day she says to me, she says, the Twin Towers came down because the government got a video of me masturbating in my living room.
This is her hello?
No, this
they'd already been talking for a minute.
We've known each other for about.
I don't think he'd let his dog keep playing with her dog if she's that's her opener.
Yeah,
I was like, wrap it up, there, Buster.
You got a poop bag? Because I'm out of here. I gotta pick that shit up and split it.
I had known her for probably 5 months. So when she said this to me, this is a problem that I have as a person. I like weird shit. So where the my instinct was like, get the fuck out of here. My brain was like, well, you got to hear
how this plays out.
We had to hear the end of the story, at least. As a comic,
of course.
You want to hear the story,
somebody
right?
Drops but that
had
on
she
you.
Given you anything at all that was like this kind of information?
She was a snowboarder. She was in great shape. She was a painter.
She pretty?
Yeah. She's Asian, good looking, right? But she was on her meds.
Ah.
Meds go away.
Sandy,
which I didn't know.
Sandy Wang took Sandy Wang off her meds. Yeah. Sandy Wang's off her meds.
So she tells me that, and I should have walked away, but I was like, oh, really? And that's when it went downhill.
Had she talked to you about her, what she had going on? I mean, if you're, you know, people open up at the dog park.
No,
so
I know. Oddly, they do a
lot. It's just a very comfort. Yeah. The dog evens the playing field because it takes away any, you could be, dude, I became friends with Luke Perry because of our dogs. Like, it's just, we start talking about the dogs. Next thing you know, we're talking sports and now we're friends.
It's so crazy how the dog park works. It's crazy who you see at the dog parks. Too. There's probably crazy networking going on up there, but
14 years you can't get this person to stop legally.
Yeah,
so
hold on, let's see.
Yeah,
so we're walking
trying
around
to get there. You're over there talking about Luke Perry. I'm trying to get back to Sandy Wang.
She says that to me. I want to hear the end of the story. It's also she told me why Heath Ledger accidental. He was killed because he knew about the video.
Her masturbation.
Fuck. Yeah. And I, at that point, I hear the whole story, and I'm like, cool. Probably going to be the last time I talk to you. But I'm glad I heard the whole story. And then I get an email from her, and I'm like, how the fuck did she get it? And then I remember.
You didn't give it to her.
4 months earlier, she's an artist. She was like, hey, will you check out my website and see if there's any paintings on there that you like or your friends? I'm really a little low on cash. And yeah, you do that for people, right? I'm okay. The problem was I sent her an email from her website. Right.
Now she's got you.
Now she's got my email.
Got it.
So you saw that. That's 5,000 emails later.
That's seriously 5,000 emails?
It was, he showed me and he did like five thumb flick ups to show that it just keeps going.
So it was crazy and it's beautiful mind stuff. It's a lot of word association. And I didn't get worried until she sent me an email and the entire email was no subject line, and I opened it and it was a picture of the house that's across the street from my house.
Man.
And I was like,
nope.
Oh, shit. Because, I travel. So I
have, but also, in today's technology, she could be out front right now with an iPhone doing that. 100%, right now.
100%. And so I called my friend the Secret Service. And I'm like, hey.
I got a secret friend.
But we just passed over. This is 14 years ago before cell phones. So she had to take a picture on film.
No.
Go to the developer place.
No, iPhone was out then.
Maybe. No. So she I send all the emails to the Secret Service. And my buddy's like, he said, send me 15. I sent him 15. He goes, send me 15.
15
more.
What? Emails? Okay.
Random.
Right.
And he goes, send me 15 more. And I did it. Okay. And he said, yeah, she's not dangerous, but she's insane. And he said, like, beautiful mind, insane. Like, she's off her meds. That's when I realized. He told me. He was like, she's clearly schizophrenic. I'm reading all these emails. This is what we get from schizophrenics. He said, it's so crazy. He said, the only way.
She's never been, I just want to ask, never threatened, never anything. It's just relentless.
The guy said to me, he goes, she's smart. She knows the law. She bumps up against it, but she never crosses the line. Now,
but isn't emailing someone consistently for 14 years enough to cross the goddamn line? Like,
no.
What's the fucking line?
And she sent me a letter from jail. This is one of my favorite.
Hold on.
Jail.
She's an ex-con.
You ready for this? So she's been sending me all these. She's been sending me all these crazy ass. You saw the emails. Crazy word association, calling me a dirty Jew, a filthy kike, the whole situation.
By the way, why I got an erection. Jesus Christ, you need to stop sending it. I'm a married man.
Oh, by the way, about 6 years into the harassment.
6 years?
In all of the
Your harassments lasted longer than any relationship I've ever been in, bro.
Hilarious. We can hook you up with Sandy Wang if you want. She's a keeper.
She sounds busy.
I'll tell you what, but she'll stick to a commitment. I'll tell you what. She's not going to leave. So
my schedule's not Sandy Wang friendly.
I got a phone call, and I hear, I was telling you about this a little bit. I get a phone call, right? And I'm like, hello. And he goes, Josh Wolf. And I say, who's this? And they say, this is so-and-so. I forget his name. And they said, I'm the head of Tom Cruise's security.
Tom Cruise's security calls.
Home phone. And I'm assuming it's my brother. Because it came
sure,
up private.
Right.
And I just go, fuck you, Dan. And I hang up the phone. Phone calls back, private. I pick up. Hello. Don't hang up. My brother, head of Tom Cruise's security. Dan.
I get this all the time.
Yeah, I was like, Dan, like, this is, you're going with head of Tom Cruise's security as a joke? That seems super dumb and specific. Right? Hang up. Phone calls back again. I'm like, dude. And he said, this is all that came out of his mouth. Do you know Sandy Wang? Now, I knew my brother didn't know Sandy Wang.
Right.
And I was like, yeah. And he goes, okay, don't hang up. Can you send me some of those emails?
Tom's fucking her.
Yeah. It's got to be the next wife.
She's going to be a Miss Impossible. Mission Impossible 5.
I'm going to need you to send me all those emails. But he wants to carry her around in a baby Bjorn. So
now he's asking for these emails. Your buddy talks to him.
Sandy Wang, four people is who she stalked. Me, Tom Cruise.
Val Kilmer.
Sandra Oh, and a dentist in New Jersey.
Listen, I know you did Tom Cruise's eye teeth. I want my shit redone.
I talked to the guy, and he was like, you send me some of the emails? I go, yeah. And he called me back.
This poor bastard's like, yeah, another one. He's responsible for all of it.
Yeah,
he's
got to deal with all this shit. Yeah.
He's gotten so much.
Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, man, this is consistent. I just wanted to see. He said, just so you know, we found her to be harmless. He goes, she's persistent.
Scientology won't let her be here, but
she's a suppressive person, so we need her to stay away. She's an SP.
But yeah, man, it's old Sandy Wang. And then she sent me a letter from jail.
Okay, so she got locked up since you had met her.
So I was getting all these crazy emails. Crazy.
Not an ex-con at the dog park.
Nope. Who's crazy emails, and then the emails stop. I'm like, oh, maybe she's on her meds, and I'm wishing her well. And I get a letter. A letter. You don't get too many letters. From the jail. And I'm like, huh. So I open it up, and I read it. Penmanship perfect. And she's basically writing in the Queen's English. She's in her, decided that crazy isn't going to work for her, so I'm going to be as proper as I can be. She tells me how she needs money for a lawyer because she's been framed by Mercedes of Beverly Hills. Because apparently...
If I had a nickel.
Right? You ready for this? She said, you buy a new Mercedes, they leave it running for you out in front of the sales office. So you can just walk out and get in your car. So she called it entrapment.
Yeah.
She was like, why else would they leave a car with the keys in it unless they wanted someone to steal it? And I was like, well, someone probably bought So she was like, I want to sue all the police for entrapment and Mercedes of Beverly Hills. She was like, I'm going to make a ton of money. I just need you to send me $10,000.
Jesus Christ. She fucking asked for $10,000. She's like,
I already tried Tom and Sandra. They're busy.
Yeah. The dentist's name, I'm not going to tell you the name, but me and the dentist have been on a bunch of emails together.
So she CCs you guys?
Oh, we're sometimes
together.
Have you
ever been on with Tom Cruise?
No. Because you know I'd have fucking blasted that email.
That'd be your biggest credit ever.
You gotta screenshot that thing. Everybody!
I just want you to like see him one day, be like, Tom!
Sandy Wang!
Sandy Wang! Me too!
Dude, me too, Sandy Wang.
If I see Tom Cruise, I am gonna scream you Sandy Wang at him.
That you should.
You'll be tackled, tased.
I
you'll be
like, I've been tased. Go tase Pauly Shore, goddamn
motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's still ongoing.
She sends me. She's right now. Every now and then, I'll open one of the. She went. I used to be repped by a place called Parallel Entertainment, and I got a call from my manager one day, and he was like, "Sandy Wang came in the office today.
In the office,
looking for him."
How's that the manager? Not dangerous?
Yeah, because she was like, hey, Josh owes me money. And he was like, who are you? And she was like, Sandy Wang. And he remembered, because it's hard to forget that name.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody who wants to listen to about Sandy Wang, you know, because it's funny to me. And he was like, oh. And he was like, she was like, he promised me money when I was in jail. So if you can just, she basically was like, if you can just forego your commissions until I get my $10,000 back. And he was like,
okay, Sandy.
There's
a honeydew plate on the way out, Sandy.
You know what? Take the elevator down.
Yeah.
But she was homeless in Beverly Hills for a while. Mm. I can tell when she's on her meds and she's not. I'll go months without hearing from her. And then right now she's on a hot streak.
She's in it.
She's in it. She's deep in it right now. Yeah. But yeah, man. That's
14 years.
Yeah.
Have you ever at all been really scared, or once you had everybody, has anything come to...
She's never shown up at the show.
Yeah, I'm surprised, because you're posting where you're going to be.
Right, you're a public figure.
If she's popping up at your manager's place, I mean...
It's why the guy in the Secret Service said, don't worry about it. She's not dangerous.
She hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah, he's like, it's not going to be her MO. I thought I was in trouble when the picture came from about the house. That's why I sent all those stuff to my friend.
Yeah, that's scary.
Because I was like, oh, well, now it's not
you
fun.
Have kids,
that would freak me out.
Yeah.
Now, and Jacob at the time, look, Jacob, I walked into the driveway once, and as I'm walking into the driveway out of my house, I hear a man's voice with Jacob, and they're shooting hoops. And I turn the corner, I go, who's
this
that?
Is Larry Wang.
Yeah. I go, Larry. I go, who is that? And the guy was like, well, see you, Jacob. And he was like, see you, Greg. And the guy picks up his backpack, big old bike, and walks down the rest. I go, hey, man, who's that? He goes, it's Greg.
Greg?
I go, you know him? He goes, no. He was walking by and wanted to know if you could shoot hoops with me. And I go, what do you want to know? He goes, nothing. I go, you guys didn't talk about anything? He goes, well, I told him you're a comic and you're on the road every weekend and it's just me and mom.
Oh my God.
Good.
And then I had that pit bull boxer that looked vicious, but was just a big pussy and was in the front yard. And I was like, you told him that? He goes, yeah. And then he thought it was really funny that Rocky is such a pussy. And I was like, what? He was like, told him that he just stands there and stares at people.
Security.
Jesus. Yeah, I was like, did you tell him what time your mom goes to sleep?
Yeah, like, right. Like, yeah, 7 p.m. Tell where she is. Gets home from work.
Where the EDP is.
Yeah. So that's what made me nervous, that Sandy Wang would walk up the driveway and he'd be like, because he knew her.
But why would, who was the guy?
Wait, who knew her?
Nobody knows. Just a dude.
Oh, not the dude knew her. Your son knew who she was.
Knew Sandy Wang. Got it. Yeah, Sandy. No, it freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I told him, I go, first of all, I brought him right into the house, by the way. And I go, because he was probably 12 or 13. I go, you know, you can be taken. And he was like, you think you're a tough guy at 12 or 13. And I said, come with me. We went right to the computer. There's a website where you can find kids that have been abducted in your area.
For real?
By age, by sex. And I go, so you big tough guy, right? And he said, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I want to know what the fuck that website is.
I had it
is.
Written down when I had the kids, but I told him, I go, look, you're a big tough guy. He goes, nobody's taking me. I go, I'm not a big dude. I could
this
not.
This guy right here is 36.
Yeah.
Took him like he was nothing.
That was Greg, by the way.
That was Greg.
But I showed him how many kids his age had were missing. Freaked him the fuck out.
That freaked me out.
That's scary.
Freaked him in a 10-mile radius. Freaked him the fuck out. And I was like, so when Greg comes up the driveway next time, give me a little heads up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to come out and give Greg, because you probably shouldn't be stopping and shooting hoops with some kid anyways.
Ever.
Oh, that's creepy. Yeah.
Right? You know what Ever. I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, yeah, dude.
Wow, man. Well, thank you for coming on here. Thank you for opening up. I know some of that stuff wasn't easy to talk about. Yeah. I appreciate it.
I started to think about it as I was talking about it, that since that, so 1999, that's never come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
It's just something that once I said it, I was like, I said it. I felt like I...
You felt it. I saw it.
Yeah, it was tough. It's a tough one for me. And I'm glad I talked about it, because I don't know that I've ever apologized to her. And I don't even know if she remembers, but I'm going to... I need to.
I love that.
I need to.
Well, I love you too, dude. Thank you for being the great friend you've always been to me. Thank you for coming on here and opening up. Would you, one more time, promote your... So anything you like, social media,
ComedianJoshWolf.com for tour dates. Control Chaos is every Tuesday night. Every Monday night, I do something called the High Live, where I sit in my backyard for an hour.
So great.
I watch.
And just get high. I do a podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr. called Prince and the Wolf.
Great. I love it. I love you. Thank you for having me on, man. Josh Adam Myers, one more, please.
Josh Adam Myers on all social media. Check out my podcast every Wednesday, The 500 with Josh Adam Myers. Go to the500podcast.com and join the movement.
It's a movement.
We're moving down the list.
I am RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We will talk to y'all next Wednesday.